This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon as we cover a lot of different things, a lot of different topics of interest in Douglas County. And today we're focused on the North Douglas County Fire and EMS and Fire Chief Brian Burke. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So let's maybe just set up the stage a little bit, because first of all, not everybody understands how a lot of our rural fire districts work. Tell us more about yours.
North Douglas County Fire covers primarily the area of Drain, Yoncalla, Rice Hill, up into Curtin to the Lane and Douglas County line.
And talk about the mix of staff and volunteers.
We have 3 full-time firefighter paramedics, 1 full-time chief. I have an operations manager, 3 part-time deputy chiefs, and then we're supplemented with local volunteers.
And how long have you been with this agency?
I've been with this agency now for, I was with them earlier, I came back, I've been with them for about 3 years and been fire chief for just over 1 year.
So how long have you been in fire service altogether?
A little over 20 years at this point.
And I've always got to ask this question, what got you interested in doing that?
It's just been something I've always been interested in doing. It started out just to volunteer in the local community at Sutherland, and then it pursued into a career that I never expected.
So was there a particular thing about dealing with fires that interested you?
My main start when I lived south of here was EMS. I was in EMS in a private area right out of high school. I did some lifeguarding and stuff like that, and it progressed into the fire.
Well, it's an interesting career with obviously a lot of unpredictability and a lot of equipment that's very expensive to deal with. Now, you put out a release last week, I believe it was, about some property purchased in Rice Hill. Talk about that.
So we had the opportunity, thanks to Senator David Brock Smith, to receive funding through Senate Bill 5506. We had put in for a housing grant. My original plan was to purchase a residence that was for sale next to our station in Yoncalla. We currently have 6 stations in the North Douglas County Fire area. We had the opportunity to purchase one on John Long Road, where we currently have 1 fire station there. We've got a lease that is kind of a more or less a handshake agreement, and I tried to purchase just that portion of the property. The current owner was wanting to retire that owned it and didn't want to sell off that portion. When her property became available, we were able to secure money through this Senate bill to purchase the land, plus the 2 acres, securing our local fire station there.
So is your lease station, then it's right adjacent to this property then?
It is. It's on the same 2 acre piece of property on the south end of that property. There's a station, houses a few pieces of equipment.
And right along Interstate 5 in Rice Hill, I would imagine, for what you're doing, that's a really, really good location.
It's going to be a great location for us. We're looking at building some housing for some local volunteers that respond, and should give us a better response time in that area also.
So let's talk more about the plan I'm looking at that you brought in this morning. Now, what has this building currently been?
It's currently the Ranch Restaurant. It's got a big A-frame. You can notice it when you come by, drive by I-5. There's the Ranch Hotels behind it, which is a great owner there. They've remodeled all that. So you'll see kind of those, their A-frames are also behind it. Looks like a big teepee in the front. We're going to end up having to remodel that. We're going to do some housing. Our rough plans that we started with, we can house 8 local students and volunteers.
And for volunteers, then, when they are on shift, are they often housed somewhere? I mean, is that advantageous if you're able to do that?
It would be advantageous. A lot of this is we have some young people. We have a cadet program that are getting ready to graduate. They're looking to get out on their own. They live locally. We can give them an opportunity to teach them some life skills, help them out to save some money. Our job is to help train them, not just on the fire science, but some life skills, give them a chance to save some money, be fiscally responsible, and the community will benefit from them being able to respond from their living quarters.
Now, typically, your volunteer firefighters are wherever they happen to be when the alarm goes off, right?
Yes, that's correct. I volunteer also in Oakland. I respond from my home to the station and then respond to the calls. There can be sometimes there's a delay there.
Yeah, so talk about this aspect, because my understanding is, especially for rural areas, the vast majority of firefighters, EMT folks in Oregon are volunteers.
That's correct. Most of Oregon has some sort of volunteer level at their agency. We're seeing more and more combination departments being developed where you have some paid staff to do medical treatment for the most part, it seems like. A lot of fire guys will train, and then those paid guys actually train up a lot of the volunteers. It's budget constraints. I think if we all could hire full staffing and have plenty, we would. The cost is prohibitive of that at this point.
Well, and for North Douglas, the land size that you cover is pretty huge.
It is. It's a very large area. I don't have the square mileage off the top of my head, but it's a good area. We medically, we respond into Kellogg and Elkton, part of Scottsburg, again, from the rest area at the 142 to the North Douglas and Lane County line.
And while you're dealing with a rural area in terms of lower population numbers, there is this thing going right through the middle of the district called Interstate 5,
yeah,
which probably keeps you busy.
We have a large area of Interstate 5. I don't know if lucky is the right word, but we do have some curves during the winter that does not see too much sunlight. So we have one section of I-5 between us and Lane County that tends to be frozen most of the winter.
And For this building project, any idea on a timeline, or do you still have to secure some additional funding to do the remodeling work?
We just did our testing for asbestos and everything, so we should be able to do some training. I figure we'll get, between us and other agencies, several months of training in this building for search and rescue, any demolition stuff that we can do. I'm going to reach out to Douglas County Sheriff's and Oregon State Police to see if they need any building for training before we end up doing the full demolition. I would like to see the project, the housing portion, completed in a year, and I don't know if that's too ambitious yet or not. We're just starting the layout, and then we'll start the bidding process for construction.
So is this something you've probably never taken on in quite this level?
No, this will be exciting. I'm looking forward to the challenge, because I'm expecting to learn a lot. I've had some great people that have guided me through what I've done so far, especially our county commissioners. When I've got questions on different things that I'm doing, they've been a huge support for our public safety in this community, and have been able to help me out with anything that I've asked so far or guide me in the right direction.
So you mentioned having, is it six stations?
We do. We have six stations in our area.
And that's just because of how spread out it is then, right?
Yeah, we try to cover 5-mile circles so we can have a good fire rating for insurance purposes for our residents and make sure we're meeting the needs that they need.
So the staff, the volunteers in particular, I'm thinking of in this instance, do people tend to volunteer in a more limited area closer to where they live, or does it kind of depend on the need of the day?
It depends on the call and the need of the day. They will respond to a close station to their house, and we all kind of join together to a call. You might get a 5-6 station response on a single call, so it's been pretty good.
Because what you don't want to have to do is drive 20 miles just to get to the station.
Correct. Yeah, it's strategically placed. Our volunteers can respond to their nearest station. They have access to the equipment. They're all trained, and we go from there.
Now, how many volunteers do you have?
Roughly 53, I believe, on our list right now.
Wow, that's a pretty good number for that rural area.
Yeah, we do bring some. We have volunteer EMTs and paramedics that will come up and just help us with our ambulance crews alone. Not everybody is fire trained. Some of our volunteers, I have some that just want to help with building maintenance and landscaping. So just because you volunteer does not mean I need you to be on the end of a fire hose and kicking in doors. We've got a lot of support people that will help out too.
All right, we're going to talk more about things going on in the North Douglas County Fire and EMS District. When we come back, the interview, a podcast, after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, Mike Winner's Lawn and Garden Show tomorrow, or rather today at 4. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, we'll meet the local captains for the Roseburg Salvation Army, talk about what they're working on for the holiday season and throughout the year as well. From the North Douglas County Fire and EMS District, the Fire Chief Brian Burke in here today talking about the purchase of property in the Rice Hill area. But one of the other things that you have going on, we wanted to spend some time on, is the recruitment of a retention and training coordinator, kind of a temporary full-time position. First of all, I'm curious how you got this one funded.
So my engineer, Ben Simons, and Deputy Chief Rance Pilley wrote a SAFER grant this year. We're looking for training and recruitment issues. We wrote a regional grant. We were successful in getting a recruitment and retention person on a four-year grant that we're getting ready to hire for. It'll help North Douglas County Fire and EMS, Scottsburg Fire, Elkton Fire, Kellogg Fire, and Oakland Fire. So doing some recruitment in the whole North Douglas County area for the most part.
And as we've talked about, with so many volunteers needed, and I'm guessing it's getting harder to find people?
It is. It's hard to find people. Hopefully this position will show them the value of volunteering. And not only that, we're looking at retention of our current volunteers to make sure that we're treating all of them well.
I would think, a generation or two ago, a lot of the people you got as volunteers, you know, were prior landowners, farmers, people like that. I imagine for some people, even if they want to volunteer, it's a little tricky if you happen to be at your day job to just disappear and then have to deal with whatever when you come back.
Yeah, I think when I started, there was quite a few guys that worked at the local mill, and they were able to leave their work to come to a fire, and then they would go back to work. We're starting to see that. That's being more and more difficult with production companies, and I understand where they're coming from. We've expanded out. We're trying to add younger people with our cadet program and growing that. We also have our student program that we're trying to develop.
Well, and for some people as well, I mean, if you're working a store, or there's certain jobs that you could only really volunteer when you weren't on duty. I suppose that would apply to some of the people you have now.
That's correct. So we try to increase the number that we have so we can have that hour coverage. I have people that work night shift that are great to respond during the day, different days off. Just try to facilitate the best coverage we can for our community.
So you're covering a lot of ground here with your agency and with the other agencies, and I know that this is going on with some of the other parts of the county as well. It sounds like a really big push is being made to kind of look at the future of this model of firefighting and get more help.
That's correct. We're just not looking at our agency. I think Looking Glass and 10 Mile and Glide currently is doing this. We're all looking at some sort of retention recruitment program at this point to see what we can get taken care of.
We had one of the folks from Glide in here recently talking about what they were doing. Now, somebody might be listening and wondering, maybe they've got some flexibility in life, or maybe they're not working or retired earlier, whatever. What types of qualifications are you looking for in volunteer firefighters?
So I don't want to get stuck in just having the firefighters. I have people that are trained just to drive the ambulance for us. There's other people that will just drive a tender, and we train them at what level they're comfortable at. I've got other people that are just helping with maintenance and groundkeeping at this point, mowing lawns and planning events, different things like that. So not every volunteer we need on the end of a fire hose kicking in a door. There's multiple aspects of things that we need in our area.
So for this recruitment, retention officer position, what types of qualifications are you looking for them?
I'd like to see somebody that's creative, that is going to have a good outreach. We're looking for some knowledge in fire and EMS, and somebody that really cares about people in the community. That's kind of my big thing, make sure that we're serving our communities and our constituents well.
So what's the application process like if somebody might be interested in this?
This application process has been open for a few weeks now. It actually closes at 5 p.m. tomorrow. It's online at ndcfems.us. They can fill that out, get that into me by 5 p.m. on Friday, I believe, is the last day. We'll do reviews over the weekend and set up interviews Monday. They'll be contacted for an interview, and we'll be doing our assessment center the following Friday.
So you're hoping to get somebody going in this fairly quick?
Our goal is to have somebody on staff hired for that region starting January 3rd.
And have you ever had this position funded before?
No, we have not. It's a newer position for us. We've done a little bit locally in North Douglas County. Now this is a regional one, and we're trying to make sure that we're helping all of our mutual aid partners in this.
Now, as well, I see that you've got an EMT class coming up beginning next, in January. Talk about that.
So we host an EMT class through Umpqua Community College. Try to do that annually. It's a two-term class. It's through UCC. We just hosted at our facility in Drain. We have two different versions for maybe the local volunteer that's not pursuing a paramedic. We have a non-credit portion of the class. And then for the younger students or somebody that would desire to be a paramedic in the future that would help them, we also have a credit option for this class.
So some of it you could take just to get the knowledge, even if you weren't sure exactly what you were going to do with it.
Yeah, both of these end up being licensed by the state as an EMT. They get the same performance. It's just whether or not you want to pursue a degree and become a paramedic would be the only difference in the credit and non-credit.
So is this like once a week or how does it work?
We'll do twice a week. The class is an evening class. We go from basically 5 to 9 on Mondays and Thursdays. It's approximately 10 weeks per term. And once you complete, you do your state written test and you'll be a licensed EMT in the state of Oregon.
I imagine there are, I can't even fathom just how much there is to learn to get to that level.
We bring in some really good instructors. The college has been a great support for this. It's important to get more people trained in the community, even if your desire is not to, be at North Douglas. We've had people come from Tri-City, Myrtle Creek. We've had some students in Glendale come through. And it's not bad for us to train them and let them help their community, even if it's not in the North Douglas area.
And I imagine when it comes time, the testing, is that done online or do they go up north to do that? Or?
So we'll do all the hands-on testing. It'll be done in class. We bring in a state licensing officer, so they'll complete that portion during their class. And then the state test is done at a testing facility. They'll schedule the written test on a computer.
And what's the timeline for people to get signed up for this?
The sooner the better. I do have limitations on space on this one. I do have some students already registered. The best way to register would be to email Rosemary Hoy. It's rosemary.hoy@umpqua.edu. Again, that information will be on our website at ndcfems.us.
So this really is kind of a partnership with the college then?
It is. It's something they've been allowing us to do an evening class at our facility. We've been doing it for several years now. This is the first time we switch it to a winter term to offset what they're currently doing at the college.
And we've got about a minute left on Inside Douglas County. What's the most interesting part of what you do?
The most interesting part is no day is the same. I can have plans to be working in the office all day, and next thing you know, you're making a difference in somebody's life. It's a very fulfilling job. It's probably the best job you'll ever have in the world.
And do you ever, of course, you have some people that are passing through the area and some of the accidents that take place, but do you ever have people come back, months later and let you know what the outcome was that maybe you didn't know about?
We did. We just received a letter that I'm going to share with our crews for somebody that had a life-threatening event, and his doctor stated without our intervention, he would not have survived it.
So that's got to make it all worth it right there.
It is. It is.
All right. Brian Burke, Fire Chief for North Douglas Fire and EMS. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.